Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, President of Aerospace Management System Institute, Board Member of Professional Aerospace Maintenance Association, and National Aviation Safety Foundation. He's the anchor host for Plane Time Stressing Aviation Maintenance. He has over 3,000 hours of flight time around the world and is today's host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the set, the Florida Aviation Network. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host, or host anchor. Not sure how that goes, but anyway, I'm here. I've noticed that there's a lot more emphasis these days on education. And this is why it's so important for us old codgers, if you will, to share with the new young group coming up that's going to be taking over. We're not going to be around forever. We might think we are, but we're not. And it's always enlightening to know what's going on, particularly in the largest county in the state of Florida, in the Polk County Public Schools. And I just wish we had somebody here that was able to share with us what's going on. Oh, wait a minute. I just noticed Fred Hyde. Fred Hyde just walked on. Fred.
Good morning, sir.
Air shake. Fred, he happens to be the superintendent of the Polk County Public Schools. And Fred, if you don't know what's going on, then nobody knows what's going on. So, Fred, give us a little bit. By the way, how's traffic today?
Traffic is insanity out there right now. It's flowing well, but and so I know a lot of planning goes into that, so I don't want that to be come across as a negative. But the increased traffic clearly indicates that there's far more interest, and this continues to grow year after year. And I'll be very interested to see the counts this year. We've got great weather. It's a great place to visit. And what an amazing program that they put on here. So thank you all very much. What a great attraction. And a great way for us to stimulate an interest in the industry, in a variety of industries that are related to aviation as well. So.
Well, and Fred, it's our opportunity to lose because, I mean, the interest is there, like you noticed. And it's what we do with those minds and those open eyes, those ears, and how we capture them. And Gene Conrad, bless his heart, He plans very well. He does as best as he can, and still, there's always going to be that little slight room for improvement. But I know Gene well enough that he's not going to take it as a slap. Yeah. He's going to take it as an opportunity to exceed and do better. Right. Cell phone service has been kind of a little bit. Wi-Fi, a little bit room for improvement there. But when you talk about the thousands and thousands of people coming and accessing all of this data. Things are changing, and it's getting better, but we're spreading out more for here, going to the east, more on the airport, and that's going to be clearing the way for the expansion of the airport property.
Correct.
And, Fred, the last time we were together, last year, I'm going to say, because we've been together since then, but things have improved, and you had just taken over. Mm-hmm. You just taken Bobo by the horns. This is an opportunity. What have you learned in a year?
I've learned a lot about the fact that there's a true passion and commitment in our community, mm-hmm. with our community partners, to continue to enhance not only our academic opportunities for our students, but those in the vocational and other areas. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is a great example of that. We're sitting here today. Your temporary studio today is here at Central Florida Aviation Academy, mm-hmm. off the Lakeland Airport. And when I arrived, one of the biggest concerns I had was, how do I create more opportunities for students, especially, and how do we eliminate some of the barriers to students who otherwise would love to attend a program like this? Mm-hmm. The sheer distance that some of our students would have to travel from the northeast quadrant or the southeast quadrant of our school district to come here would have equated to an hour and a 45 minutes, hour and 50-minute bus ride each way.
Yeah, it's time and cost prohibitive.
It is. And the program is always at capacity, and mm-hmm. so it showed me there's a high interest. Mm-hmm. And so what we did this year, and I'm very proud of the fact, is we actually expanded CFAA onto another campus. Mm-hmm. And it now has a sister campus on the on the, goodness gracious,
Winter Haven,
thank you, airport. And so now students from Auburndale, Winter Haven, Haines City, Ridge Community, and Lake Region will all have a much closer opportunity for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot about the program, again, and in the industry. There's a growing interest amongst our students. And so we wanted to meet that demand. We're also excited that I believe, if the rumors are true, that we are the only, or we will be the only traditional public school system in the southeastern states that has a air traffic control program starting mm-hmm. next school year.
In Bartow.
Yeah. So exciting times, great, again, career opportunities for our students, and clearly demonstrates the commitments that we have to fulfill those expectations and requests and interests of our kids and our parents and the industry. So exciting times. Yeah. I mean, we're trying to replicate programs as quickly as we can mm-hmm. with an emphasis on making sure that our students have equal access and opportunities.
Wow. I tell you, the pressure on the top has got to be immense, because in order to fill those programs,
yes.
you need people to help you fulfill those programs. Mm-hmm. And this is why it's I'm constantly on the search for talent.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people out there that say they're good. I don't know. I have to see, mm-hmm. I have to have it demonstrated to me of what you have to bring to the table.
Correct.
To share with these folks. Ryan, Jacob, Nick, behind the cameras here to set that hook to get them involved with the aerospace mm-hmm. industry. And I'm still pushing aerospace.
Absolutely.
Aviation is part of aerospace. Mm-hmm. Ultralights are part of aerospace. Balloons are part of aerospace.
Correct.
So that's why it is so important to push this forward. And there's so many ancillary things that spring. For example, and I know this is your 22 minutes of fame. However, Disney, back when they first started up, they were pulling all of the A&Ps that they could to fill their technician slots because of their knowledge about systems,
sure.
being able to read diagrams and follow instructions. And so they were hiring all the A&Ps. Mm-hmm. Our A&P situation is dire, and a lot more than the pilots, even though the pilot situation is dire. But
right.
I know that you're gainfully involved with this expansion and our A&P situation.
Absolutely.
You came into this, your aviation background was somewhat limited, but you're getting a real big fast-track school on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, so my background was based off the family industry. My dad owned an aviation supply company, and we did everything from avionics to hydraulics and everything else, everything but engines.
Mm-hmm.
From a 707 up to a 777. So I had a lot of knowledge on the parts and rotable side and repair station side, mm-hmm. not necessarily any actual experience with flight or
operational
issues. But I will tell you that I think it's helped, because that exposure to the industry helped show me, as you pointed out, and thank you for clarifying the difference between aviation and aerospace, because far too often we look at it and we really have a very narrow, myopic kind of view of what the industry entails.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've pointed out, it's food service, it's fuel service, it's maintenance, it's everything. And the earning potentials and the opportunities for kids and students today are greater than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Transitioning to military and the types of equipment that they get to work on there in the Air Force and in the Marines and in the Navy. I mean, the opportunities are endless, and it's an exciting time. But again, I think my background helped me have some influence and some interest in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw what it did for my father. I saw what it did for our family, and had a good working relationship with countless others through the industry. And so I think, you know, it reinforced to me that this is a viable pathway and mm-hmm. not a difficult one for students. It just takes some commitment. And as long as you have an interest, we're going to sustain that. But we have great A&P programs here. You know, we have our Flight Academy. And our students, again, have nothing but opportunities here. And it's exciting, because I appreciate the fact that we didn't approach it, you know, myopically and say, well, let's just focus on developing young pilots. We actually offer multiple opportunities within the industry, mm-hmm. within aerospace. And that's important for me, because it's not for me to choose what a student wants to do and where they end up. It really is for them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the servant leadership approach that I try to embrace is I listen to our students, I listen to the industry, and I try and mesh the two so that I'm giving students those opportunities and not forcing them down a path, mm-hmm. but creating a lot of flexibility and a lot of opportunity for them to explore.
Well, Fred, I would be lying if I said I I really want to take advantage of your interest in aviation, because it's something not every superintendent of the school system has in their quiver, if you will. And we need to take advantage of that here in Polk County. And like you say, this is the only, I believe you're right. I haven't fact-checked you on this, but I think this is the only county that does offer a county ATC curriculum.
Correct.
And that's something to grow on. I mean, because
the earning potential for students, $90,000 a year right out of the once they're certified in the industry.
That's better than the steel company.
You know, nowadays, what we're trying to reinforce, you know, in public education, we kind of we left career tech ed behind when A Nation at Risk came out a number of years ago, and there was this heavy emphasis, let's get everybody into college. And right now we're finding that many of these trades, students will make five times the income right out of high school that they could make even if they graduate from college with a degree and enter into their career of choice. So it's really exciting for our students. I mean, we've got everything, opportunities here in Polk County. If you are interested in working in a foundry, we've got opportunities for you. If you're interested in working in construction, there's nothing but opportunity. Polk County is the third fastest growing county in the nation. Our school district alone grew 7,200 students from last school year. And we're building schools. We're remodeling schools. And so the construction trades industry is just absolutely booming here. It's an exciting time, too, because as Polk County grows and we have an airport, there's a real opportunity for Polk County to embrace that and move away from just cargo to including passenger flights and expanding those opportunities. I know that that's a vision that the county has. And I know that the utilization of this facility and this airport has shown that they're on that trajectory. And that will be an exciting time, because I think that when that happens, you'll see more tourism, you'll see more of an impact, and those financial opportunities will begin to expand here locally for our students. I mean, Amazon's here, has a large facility here. So there's, again, great opportunities for our kids.
They're not going away either.
They are not going away anytime soon.
Fred, on a personal note, last time I saw you, you were a lot woolier than you are right now. How did that turn out?
It turned out we raised just under $3,000, if I recall correctly. It was a fundraiser for United Way.
He had a he had a bush all over from earlobe to earlobe. Yeah. He had a bush,
and it was shave or no shave. So as people donated funds, essentially, they were voting for us to either have to keep the beards or we were allowed to shave our beards. And so thankfully, they allowed us to shave. And my wife said we would go bankrupt if need be, because she was going to donate however much money that she needed to make sure I could shave. And so I went back to the goatee, which I've always had. So, but, it, you know, it's things like that. I love participating in fundraisers. You know, when I first got here, I participated in Winter Haven in a lip sync competition. This last year, you know, we did I did something with hearing and vision organizations here, raised $10,000 for their organization. So every year it's nice to be able to give back. I pick one charitable organization to do a major fundraiser with each year. But United Way is a constant one, because they're little things. Tonight's a great example of that. Our Polk Education Foundation has a shotguns for school event tonight. So we have a skeet shooting event tonight, and it'll be a great opportunity for us to raise funds, have a good time. I'm not a good shot, but thank goodness my son plays a lot of Call of Duty, so hopefully he'll carry the team again this year.
Go Second Amendment. I mean, and Fred, I understand on the lip sync thing, you were John Travolta. You were doing Grease, or you
we
were
did John Travolta
Flashdance.
Yes, we did, and I came out with a sequin jacket. And it was kind of a schmedium. It was a little tight. But I had platform heels and everything, because you have to dress the part, and we had a good time. And it was a great way for me to do some team building, because I was new, as you know. And many of my senior administrators were working directly with us and got to participate with us in that. So it was a good team building activity as well.
Fred, the thing that that I'm impressed, and I'm not easily impressed, is you do bring the right persona, I think, to the dynamics of this county. And it's real easy from an educator standpoint. There's a lot of really boring, stiff educators. You're not boring, you're not stiff. And I think that's part of the refreshing aspect of your role as a superintendent.
Thank you.
And I have to openly admit, I fully didn't understand what the role of the superintendent was. but it's pretty much everything. You're responsible for an awful lot.
Yes, sir.
What is the size of your operation in public schools?
So we are a $2.3 billion organization. Mm. We have 14 to 15,000 employees, 117,200 students presently. We're actually looking to grow even more. The current projection is we will grow another 7,000 to 9,000 students this summer again. And so with that comes the responsibility that I have to have enough seats for those students. Mm-hmm. I also have to enough qualified teachers to serve those students, mm-hmm. and program opportunities, mm-hmm. for them, mm-hmm. to explore. So it's a unique time. It's a challenging time. And you have to balance the finances. And then throughout that, you're dealing with day-to-day issues. You're dealing with the daily fires that happen, you know, accidents, bus accidents, student issues, adult issues, academic concerns. Mm-hmm. And so it's a balancing act. And I absolutely love what I do. And I've got a great team. And Polk County is an amazing school district. And I think over the next few years, we're going to continue to surprise people, mm-hmm. because we have such dedicated staff here.
Good.
And great opportunities.
Good. So. Fred, the aviation in itself is not inherently dangerous, but to a far greater degree than the sea, it's terribly unforgiving of any negligence or incapacities.
Correct.
How are you dealing with the negligence and incapacities? Because if you work on that, everything else is pretty well straightened itself out.
That is correct. I think it starts with that. You start with policies and procedures, and how do you make sure that no matter what you do, you're operating within those constraints, right? You look at, we constantly are being reinforced through the legislature. Here are the expectations. We stick to those. Mm-hmm. We engage our stakeholders. We engage our family members so that they feel like they're partners in education and not just on, you know, passengers, like they're, mm-hmm. just kind of along for the ride. We want them to feel equally respected. We want our students to have a voice. And I think when you focus on all those things and you focus again and you ensure that you're going to operate ethically and morally, mm-hmm. and above board, mm-hmm. that everything else does fall in line. It makes the rest of the work easier, quite frankly.
Well, and in my prior role with the federal government, people still come to me and ask me questions, because mm-hmm. I didn't realize how respected of an inspector I was until I left.
Sure.
But they said, Ben, I'm having a problem with this and that. And I just give them a very, very, it sounds simplistic answer, but just do the right thing. Well, what is the right thing? I says, if you have trouble coming up with that answer, you have more problems to deal with than just doing the right thing.
Correct.
So let's get your priorities in order, mm-hmm. and ask me after you spend a little bit of time doing some self reconnaissance, mm-hmm. then come back and let's talk.
Sure.
And you know, when they do come back, we do have a very meaningful conversation, and because everybody's so ready to put their finger on the nail on the problem. Man, the problem's way back here. That's where it started. So I'm all about getting out into the foundation,
right.
of the situation. And I get the feeling, the inspiration, that you are much more of a grassroots type of a get down into the trenches with where the problem begins, mm-hmm. To head it off before it happens.
And I thank you for that. I mean, I think that's what you have to do. You know, every problem comes wrapped, right? In emotion, mm-hmm. in confusion, and in frustration. And it's our job to unwrap that and really look at the core of the issue. Because at the center of every complaint or every problem, there is a core issue that somehow we have failed to adequately address.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget that sometimes, that in public education, part of our job is to be servant leaders to others. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about to create a framework and a structure, and it's so rigid that everybody has to meet us where we are. We have to remember, we have to meet people where they are, mm-hmm. and what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And if we maintain that type of focus, we become, and I've been using a phrase with the team here recently, you know, we really want to become more, instead of a compliance-driven organization, we want to become a compassion-driven organization. Mm-hmm. So that we really look at every student as an individual, as they should be, every family, mm-hmm. issue as an individual issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, yes, we can lump some things into certain baskets, but we do. I approach those things realistically, I think, from a humanistic kind of approach. Mm-hmm. And I expect that of my administrators and others. You know, there's no easy aspect to what we do each day. Even the decision to suspend a student is one that we take, you know, a great deal of care, mm-hmm. making, because Do we have all the details? Do we know exactly what transpired? Are we doing the right thing? And what's ultimately, how's this going to impact the student?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes suspension is not the best answer. Sometimes keeping the student in school is the better answer, because sometimes they may be acting out because they want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be advantageous to them or to us or to the family. So we do. And thank you for that. I mean, I think I'm a hands-on leader. I don't micromanage my staff. I set expectations. I have high expectations, as we should.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to continue to strive to meet those. But we are shifting our focus and our culture to be more focused on students, more student-centric, more parent-centric,
mm-hmm.
and less operational, less compliance-driven, is really a better way to say
That's against the rules. You can't do that.
Yeah, for some.
And I look at rules as standards. It's a set of standards.
Right.
And I want to take the opportunity on behalf of our volunteer staff to thank your organization for your support for us to do what we do. And that's hopefully getting the word out about aviation safety, mm-hmm. aerospace safety, balloon safety, rocket safety. And it's thinking about what you're doing. And by the guests that we have on this set, mm-hmm. we have a very nice program on our website. Mm-hmm. And you're welcome to go to it. You're on there many times. And hopefully we'll see you many times in the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anything, last parting shots?
No, I just want to say thank you. I think what you all do as volunteers is absolutely amazing. You do give, and people don't realize this, and I've seen this, as you know, outside of these interviews, you all donate an incredible amount of time, and your knowledge base is exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people to just kind of look at it, you know, and superficially or callously just say, well, you know, they're getting paid or they get something, they derive a benefit out of this. You don't. You derive a personal benefit out of this,
mm-hmm.
because I think each and every one of you wants to continue to advocate for the industry, and that says a lot about your character and who you are as individuals. And okay. It's been a pleasure to continue to support you in what you do, and our partnership will continue. I mean, like, clearly this event is growing,
mm-hmm.
And I look forward to the day where, quite honestly, we may have to reevaluate its location because maybe we even outgrow this airport. But that's years ahead of us. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it's a unique opportunity for partnership.
True.
And to establish an ongoing dialogue. This is the kind of partnerships we're trying to establish
mm-hmm.
with many of our outside organizations, because typically and historically what's happened in public education is industry has said, we need this, and then they back away. That's not happening here. This is an ongoing dialogue, an mm-hmm. ongoing conversation, and an ongoing opportunity for us to tap into each other's resources to make sure that the future mm-hmm. of aerospace and aviation continues to flourish. Because it's going to be up to our students.
Sure it is. So. And Fred, it's not every outfit that you have two airline captains, literally, providing this shot that you're looking at here. And we have students help driving the cameras.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's, we got the range.
Yeah.
Now let's plug in the motion.
Absolutely.
Fred, thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
And now you can take a breath and relax a little bit. And go out and enjoy. Next year,
I promise to be here early.
No, I don't believe that.
We had an emergency on the way in this morning. I had to go out and deal with, but that's life. And
we could always send a helicopter to pick you up.
I have spoken to our sheriff and said, I just want you to fly me in next year.
We'll drop you on the roof.
And we'll do something.
We'll have a hard line down
you
for
go.
You. You can come
rappel
down.
There you go.
All right, we're going to line this one up, and it's been so good having Fred Hyde, the superintendent of Polk County Public Schools. And let's learn a little bit more about what's going on out in the field. I'm going to see you there. I'm going to the ramp right now. Ben Coleman, your anchor host, Florida Aviation Network. See you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.